Good morning, Pyle. 7 o'clock. We'll see if we can give you a full three today. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy. From the Bozarth Miller.
Almost as long as we were yesterday already.
Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles.
We're killing it today.
Been on for less than 30 seconds. So far, so good.
Yeah.
So we'll get some of your texts from yesterday. There were a couple that floated in. And yesterday was one of those days where we haven't had a day like that in a very long time where we've had our technology chain breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give our IT guy, Bob Carman, our engineer, Vala, Barry a lot of credit because they worked diligently yesterday to, I'm going to keep us on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you and I were not
such
able to,
were, yeah,
to be on the air, but at least keep the station on the air, and then to get the problem resolved. So I thank them both for their work from yesterday,
mm-hmm.
because it was a bit of a scramble yesterday.
A little bit.
So thanks to those folks for doing such fine work. But we are here today, ready to conversate with you. On the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. So we have a lot to get to today. Mav Day coming up later on. Julian Boyd of the Maverick baseball team has had a really good season. Is going to join us. Guy's had not just a good season so far, but a phenomenal career. Chris Hanks, who reached 1,000 wins in his career this past weekend with the sweep of Colorado Christian. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk with him. Also, Troy Moyer, coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team. So that's coming up later on this morning. This hour, Wyatt Thompson, as we wrap things up on a sensational season for Kansas State. What was your take on the Jerome Tang going into the Florida Atlantic locker room after the game and telling them, you guys are the toughest team we played all season. You know, hats off to you. On the season you've had.
I love it.
There are people, you know, and I do too, but there are people, I was looking at Twitter, some of the reaction to it. There are people ripping him for doing that. Oh, it's got to be about you. You had to go in while they were celebrating. Why couldn't you have done it right after the game?
He did.
Well, they meant on the floor. I mean, on the floor. Go over, say something to them.
Because they're not going to
in the handshake line, for example.
Because they're celebrating with themselves. They're finding family. The band's playing. He's got to get his guys off the court.
There's a ton of things.
His guys.
A lot of commotion going on.
And I understand that it's a little self-serving. I get it. College basketball coaches are self-serving to start with. Self-preservation, that's why they recruit good players. That's why they want to win games so they don't get fired. Did Jerome Tang grab the CBS or TBS camera crew and be like, come follow me, guys, watch this? No. He had a reasonable expectation that this wasn't going to get out. Now, he should know that it was eventually.
Camera crew was in the locker room, though, because that's...
But he didn't drag them there.
No, they were there, and... Look, and I'm with you on this. I don't think we have a whole lot of disagreement.
Not really.
That I thought the intention was good. Was there some self-serving motivation behind it? Yeah, probably.
Whenever he would have done it, there would be self-serving motivation.
But they should have did it right after the game. How is he supposed to? Is he going to say, hey, mm-hmm. hey, could you guys all come over here so I can talk to you?
Well, is he supposed to parachute into practice today to do it? I mean, what do you want him to do?
I mean, how long was he supposed to wait?
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to wait until they're getting ready to get on the bus to go back to their hotel or whatever, to go to the airport or whatever the case may be? I'm not sure what he was supposed to do.
Nobody's out here ripping Danny Hurley or Bobby Hurley Jr., whoever the hell is the coach at UConn.
It's Dan Hurley.
Nobody's out here ripping Dan Hurley, essentially pooping on the head of everybody else's conferences except for the Big East. No one's saying anything about that. That's self-serving. It's like, wow, we knew once we got through the Big East, everything else is going to be a cakewalk. No one says a word about that.
Right.
But this guy going out there saying, you guys were underrated and
Top,
you beat us.
Best team we played all season.
Love it.
I just thought it was kind of a cool thing. And there are people like, oh, how self-serving. And was there some of that? Yeah, probably. Come on, man. Cut the guy some slack. All right. So we have a busy show today. Text call us 970-242-1340. I guess since we didn't get to that yesterday, and we'll talk with Wyatt Thompson coming up, voice of Kansas State Wildcats. Was that a self-serving gesture on his part? I thought the intention was the right intention.
Mm-hmm.
Did it happen to be in front of TV cameras? Yeah, it was. It happened in front of a camera crew. And which cameras are everywhere now, right?
Yeah.
And so it was going to probably be caught on tape somewhere, mm-hmm. somehow. Regardless when he did it. Somebody with a cell phone, camera crew, whatever.
Right. There's 16 kids in there that live their lives on TikTok and Instagram. Maybe not Instagram anymore. Maybe they're too young. I don't know.
And you know, somebody was filming that.
Somebody, it was going to be out by the time he got out of the locker room.
And so, okay, well, he should have allowed them to celebrate. Well, they were celebrating.
Right.
And he went in, he spoke to them. It was, you know, not, it wasn't like he was in there for an hour.
Now, if he goes in there and he's like, you kids screwed us, you don't deserve to blah, 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 then, yeah, then, you know what? That's bad.
Absolutely. But it wasn't. It was extremely positive and a very classy, cool gesture on his part.
Yes. That's something that is needed more of from coaches and in the NCAA tournament, in any tournament. Professionals, I don't know. But college, high school, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. I don't either. So have you got some reaction to that since we didn't get the chance to really talk about that yesterday? 970-242-1340. Andrew sent us a text. High school rugby has a match in Denver this Saturday. CMU men's rugby has a small tournament they're hosting on campus this Saturday from 11 to 4. Check that out. And CMU women's rugby has a home match on campus this Sunday at noon. Well, thank you, Andrew. We appreciate that. Let's see. Before we get into what's happening, did you see Robert's text yesterday?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay. Well, he's got a couple here. Let's see. The selection committee needs to revamp the way it chooses schools for the tournament. 16 teams from the Big Ten and the SEC and only one in the Elite Eight. How embarrassing. More egg, please. Stop with all the quad nonsense and just go with the quantity of wins instead of a perceived sense of quality. The transfer portals and the NIL have turned mid-majors into powerhouses. Have a grand day, team. P.S. Sounding much better, Jim. The power of prayer. Well, thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Sounding much better?
I'm
just kidding. You're better. No,
it's
absolutely
better. It's, I don't know about much better. It's better. Number one is, aren't NILs supposed to benefit the powerhouse? The Power Five isn't supposed to benefit those programs? The rich get richer, right?
Yeah.
Higher profile institutions?
And, like, there's two Power Five conferences, technically. I know the Big East isn't a power conference, but in basketball it is.
Yeah.
There's two Power Five. There's ACC.
Miami.
And the Big East. And wasn't this the same person who was touting how crappy the Big Ten was and how the Pac-12 shouldn't be overlooked and how the Pac-12 had all this axe to grind about being besmirched on the national level? Because
how'd that work out for the Pac-12?
They all suck, too.
How about this year as an outlier? How about that? Because you got three teams in the Final Four for the first time ever. Hasn't happened since 1970. How about the thing?
San Diego State's pretty damn good.
Pretty damn good.
FAU has gotten hot.
Probably should have had a much higher seed than they received. How about UConn? They're really good. They're really, really good. Miami is, Jim Larranaga's got a really good team. The Miller kid's really good. How about that? So supposed to just go on the number of wins, Robert? That's the deal?
And isn't
then
Miami a huge NIL school now? Don't they have some donor that donated?
Yeah.
Like millions of dollars to fund both the men's and women's NIL?
Believe that is the case, yes.
But
don't know the exact individual, but
story.
I just So we're 1 year you're going to blow up everything. The quad wins don't matter. So one NCAA basketball tournament going to blow everything up.
Yes.
Because this is what makes it great. This is what makes it fun. The unpredictability that it's one game. One game. All you have to be good for a team to make a run like a Fairleigh Dickens and others, you just need one or two games where you play really well. We've got experienced guys that are upperclassmen that may not have futures in the NBA or anything like that, but they play well as a team. We've seen that become more and more evident. When Butler made their two runs to the championship, they had upperclassmen experienced guys, may not have had for Brad Stevens NBA caliber guys necessarily up and down their roster, but they played really well together. And that's become that and really good guard play are two of the things that you have to look at going forward in with any team that's going to make a run in the tournament. I just think you can't blow up the system because 1 year it's we've had some upsets, right. Fairleigh Dickinson, Princeton, Furman, I mean, going on and on. And now you have a Final Four that doesn't look like anybody's Final Four. Now, if we have 2 or 3 years of this, then maybe you can start drawing more correlations there and extrapolate more data as far as, okay, what's the deal? Why the Power Five schools, there's a lot of one and done guys. True?
Yeah.
Guys at smaller schools are sticking around. And they play really good team basketball. That's just the fact of life about the mid-majors.
If you're going to complain about one and dones, and you're going to complain about NIL, you can't also then complain about the transfer portal where guys are playing in their fourth and fifth year.
Exactly.
Because...
And that's part of this, too.
They can't go to the pros after 1 year. They can't get pushed out by a huge incoming freshman class the next year. They can't go to this school because maybe they're not going to make enough money in the NBA. But you know what? They can be comfortably finishing out their degree at school X.
Exactly.
And a team that made it to the first four was a couple possessions away from being in the Sweet 16 against a team that's going to be in the Final Four in Fairleigh Dickinson and Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
I would not mind if this was the way it was every year. You get a couple of Power Fives and a couple of upstarts.
Sure. I like that predictability. That's what this tournament's built on, right?
Right.
The Cinderella stories, the Davidsons.
Also from the same person that the
George Masons
are the scrappy upstart. The 60s Packers were the plucky underdogs. That's the same person. You got to remember that, too. Right. The 70s UCLA Bruins. They it was them against the world. They had every disadvantage thrown at them, and they won with, you know, against all odds, being the best team in the country. That's the same. You got to remember that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, I just think you can't just all of a sudden go, okay, we got to change everything because San Diego
you
State
know what the problem is?
And Florida Atlantic made the Final Four.
Mustaches. Too many mustaches on these.
Too much long hair and mustaches.
Mid-majors. Too much facial hair. That's what
it is. And look, I saw the 60 Minutes piece with Charles Barkley where he does not like the current state of college basketball, doesn't like NIL, doesn't like the transfer portal. Does the NCAA have a problem with this across sports? Yeah, there's a management problem with it. You and I have talked about that. There needs to be probably more controls. Doesn't mean you do away with it because the genie's out of the bottle. It's the way college athletes should be compensated in some way for what they do, particularly if they're the ones, no offense to any other sports, football and men's basketball, that bring in a lot of money, and football in particular. Let's just be honest about that. There are women's programs in basketball that do, like UConn, that do generate dollars and are self-sufficient. But let's just be realists about this.
Then get beat by Ohio State. Just saying.
Okay. But
I'm with you. No, you make the point there.
But there needs to be better controls for CNCAA. No longer has that ability.
No, what they did was, instead of setting up like Disneyland or Cedar Point or whatever to where there's an orderly-ish line around all of these handrails with, you know, chains and ropes and turnstiles, and you orderly go through. They threw the doors open like the first day at Country Jam and just let people run towards the barrier with no sort of moderation, no rules. They threw open the doors and said, go do whatever. They didn't bother to put any guidelines, any barriers, any bumpers, guardrails, nothing. Whatever term you want to use, they didn't bother to do any of that. And now it's going to be hard to now start ramping that down. But the freedom to transfer willy-nilly is coming to a close. You get one free one, and then you have to sit out. So Tate Martell is going to be 100 years old by the time he finishes college, because he's going to go to every Division I school on the planet. But you can't do that anymore. You're going to transfer. The first one you get free. Transfer a second time, you got to sit out a year again.
Back to the...
Yep. Which I think is a good way to start kind of ramping back on this.
Which you and I have always thought, you the first one, you should not have to sit out.
Yeah.
Transfer again, then you got to sit out a year. Mm-hmm. You're making that decision to go someplace else again.
Right.
And there needs to be some guardrails on that. There needs to be better guardrails on NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Baker was the governor of Massachusetts, is now the NCAA president. He's been making the rounds during the tournament, and he wants to go to the president, and he wants to go to Congress. What can they guys do to help us with some of these challenges in regard to NIL and things like that?
They don't need to do anything with this.
And my thing about that is, and I agree with what Charles Barkley said, number one, why is that their problem? Why is that a congressional problem? Why is that a presidential issue? And, you know, Chuck doesn't have a lot of faith in the political system in this country.
Can't imagine why.
I can't say that I blame him on either side. And so why are you going to go to those folks to solve the problems of the NCAA? NCAA and Emirate, those guys have allowed the Power Five conferences to take over and rule the roost.
They're not even trying. It's just... Well, I don't know what to do, so let's get Congress involved.
Let's get them involved.
That's going to help. Well,
because they're going to solve all the problems.
You know.
Sure.
Like, at least try. At least try something. You know, if you're Jack Nungy and there's a family reason, you know, that you're transferring.
Absolutely.
Maybe that second transfer, maybe there's a board, right, that you go to. It's independent. It's not the West Texas A&M AD gets to listen to all people transferring into West Texas A&M and approve them all under hardship reasons or anything like that.
Right.
Maybe, but the first one's always free. If you go down a level, that second one's free. There are ways to fix this. You just got to wavo up to get it done.
Well, the NCAA's lost all, but they've lost all their teeth, though. That's the problem. There's no more bite from the NCAA.
You gotta grow some.
I know. I agree. But they've let this turn into a wildfire. They've let it get away from them, and I don't know, Buckeye, how they get it back. And so now they're going to try to. Mark Emmert burned the whole thing down. And so now you have Baker asking the president, asking Congress to be wildland firefighters here and put this fire out for us.
Yeah. Where most of them, the way they put fires out are matches and cans of gasoline.
Exactly.
That's not how it works.
Driving tanker trucks full of gasoline all over the place. And so I don't know what the answer is, because I don't know how the NCAA gets control back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Power Five, once again, the Power Five, the move toward them doing their own thing continues, even with the NCAA basketball tournament. They feel like that they could do their own thing and exclude the NCAA. And Barkley made a point. He said, look, I think there'll be a time 10 years down the road, and this might be too dystopian, too dire, too apocalyptic, where he thinks there'll be 25 schools, they'll be the kings of college basketball, because they'll have all the NIL, they'll have all the power, and they will be the ones that rule everything.
Is that so different than the way it is now?
Probably not.
You have the upper crust of the Big East, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12. That essentially direct call. Just look at your top four seeds in every region. Kansas, UConn, Gonzaga's the outlier. Purdue.
Alabama.
Tennessee. Kansas State.
I mean, not that Alabama year in and year out is a power, but they're a school with a lot of prestige and a lot of power.
Texas. Arizona. You mentioned Bama. Indiana was a four seed. Virginia was a four seed. You know, let's not make it out to be like, you know, these schools, and I'm talking to Charles Barkley. Let's not make it out like these schools are now lusting for the, they have it already.
They've got it, and could the haves and the have-nots, could the wealth disparity get wider?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Probably, and I think he's right about that.
Jay Billis was on Dan Patrick yesterday about people are shocked at what San Diego State or Xavier or Marquette did. And he said, San Diego State was a preseason top 25, and in the Mountain West, they're not allowed to lose. Baylor lost 10 games this year and was a just as high a seed before their conference tournaments as San Diego State was. They lost 10 games in the Big 12, which turned out to be not great, and they're not allowed to lose. And that's kind of speaks to the point of, you think that these Power Five conferences are going to start to grab power?
They've been doing it for decades now.
The thing I think the best thing that could happen to college basketball and all the other college sports in regards to NIL and transfer, the whole thing, the football does break off. Because the NCAA cannot control the football anymore. When it comes to their leagues, the whole thing, that's gone. There's way too much money involved for the NCAA and their nature to elevate inept people into the lead role. You break the football away, you have all the other sports on the other side. Now you can kind of start to, you know, massage that back into place.
But for the NCAA, man, the football generates a lot of money now.
Yeah.
And it drives the bus. It drives the direction of conferences, the fates of schools and athletic programs.
And that's the thing.
They don't control that anymore.
No, they're going to let go of all the other programs to lose football eventually anyway.
Exactly. All right, 7:23. It's time for
What's Happening?
All right, brought to you today by ComWest, your technology partner. They help business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions that support and secure their business technology consistently and professionally. If you're looking for a new phone system, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, they're the ones to call. They're your technology service partner. Call them today, 970-242-8142. All right, dive into it. Go to last night, the Nuggets, in what was anticipated as a showdown between MVP contenders, turned into the Nuggets almost blowing a big lead and holding off Philadelphia for a 116-111 win Monday night in Denver. 76ers MVP candidate Joel Embiid didn't play due to a sore right calf, but reigning MVP Nikola Jokic continued to make his case with 25 points, 12 assists, and 17 rebounds. The Nuggets almost blew a 22-point third-quarter lead.
Yeah, it was a win, ugly win. Let them back in the game. Fourth quarter, played no defense, turned the ball over, and allowed them to cut it to a one-possession game. So, obviously, you'll take a win anytime you can, but we have to be a hell of a lot better over the course of 48 minutes than we were tonight.
Denver coach Michael Malone, the Nuggets moved to 51-24. They host New Orleans coming up Thursday night.
MSP, right? Most softest player, Joel Embiid. My calf hurts.
I love the people that had the missing person sign.
Oh, that was great.
Some of those. All right, can you cue the music for me? All right, the Avalanche went to Anaheim Monday night, dumped the Ducks 5-1. Colorado All-Star Nathan MacKinnon scored his 32nd goal of the season, and he's 5 points away from 100 for the first time in his career. Win gives the Avs a 2-point lead over Dallas for second place in the Central Division. Colorado's a first-place showdown with Minnesota tomorrow night in Denver. Pregame at 7:30 on the Team Sports Network. Weeks away from the NFL draft, and the Broncos have publicly stated they have no interest in trading top receivers Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Head coach Sean Payton spoke to reporters at this week's annual meetings in Phoenix, where he reiterated that it's not a deep enough draft class to consider trading one or both of Denver's best receivers.
I said it yesterday, that it's not something we're interested in doing. It'll continue, I'm sure, as we get closer to the draft. If you really look at the draft and you look at the receiver depth in the draft, it's not a real deep draft. So if you're a team that's looking for receivers, we're not the only team people called.
The NFL League meetings are scheduled through Wednesday. More honors for Colorado Mesa basketball players Blaze Threat and Trevor Baskin. The two are named to the NABC D2 All-District team after leading the Mavericks to the RMAC regular season title and a spot in the D2 postseason. Threat was named to the first team, with Baskin a second team selection. Threat has been named first team All-RMAC, first team D2 CCA All-Region, and was named to the RMAC All-Tournament team. He also made the Bevo Francis watch list. That award is given to the best D2 basketball player. Threat recently announced he's entering the transfer portal. Colorado Mesa lacrosse players A.J. Switzer, and Trev Corkin III are the RMAC Players of the Week. Switzer earned his first RMAC Offensive Player of the Week award this season after a goal and an assist against third-ranked Tampa and 3 goals and 4 assists against Palm Beach Atlantic. Corkin earned the Defensive Player of the Week after he recorded 9 ground balls and 5 turnovers against Florida Tech. It's Corkin's first RMAC Player of the Week award. And the Grand Junction and Delta baseball teams are in action today. Tigers face Eagle Valley at 4 at Canyonview, with the Panthers hosting Cortez. Grand Junction's 5-2, and they're on a 4-game winning streak. They face Palisade tomorrow. The team starting the pregame at 4:45. Delta's 3-1 as they host 4-2 Montezuma Cortez today at 1 o'clock. And that's
What's Happening.
Brought to you by ComWest. They can help you with your technology business solutions. Give them a call today, 970-242-8142. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about the Avs and Nuggets both getting wins last night. That's next on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:30. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. You got some thoughts about what we're talking about with the NCAA basketball tournament and just the NCAA in general. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right, Nuggets and Avalanche both getting wins last night. Always a good thing.
Two different levels of competition.
Exactly.
Just to be nice to the not quite mighty Ducks.
The mild ducks.
Yeah,
the mild ducks. Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like 5-1. Nice. That's all.
It's like, and beat them 10-1.
Yeah. You couldn't put up 7 or something.
Well, let's start with the Nuggets, though.
Yeah.
Because the Nuggets, it was a very ballyhooed matchup, right? Between Joel Embiid, who played really well against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets the last time they faced each other when they went to Philadelphia.
If you listen and read some people, that's the only reason he should be the MVP. Well, he beat Joker head-to-head. Okay.
There's, you know, all those other guys out there playing, though.
Right.
There's 4 of the guys on the floor.
I'm not going to discount that because he had, what, 41, 47, somewhere around
there?
Yeah,
he had a huge game. Yeah, I don't
he
have the numbers in front of
me. He the Nuggets that night. It's not just the fact he went head-to-head with the Joker, but the team that
he had an epic performance.
3.5 up on the number 2 spot for leading the Western Conference, and he torched him. That's a better argument than, he's a better player than Nikola Jokic. He's taller and more slender. None of that stuff matters, but you get some of that from their first meeting. And the second one was going to be, how does the Joker respond? Well, I can tell you this. Doesn't matter what Joel Embiid's doing out there. Joker's probably going to go for 28, 14, and 8 at least. How'd he do last night?
And that was kind of what he did last night, where Nikola Jokic had a typical Nikola Jokic game, 25 points, 12 assists, 17 rebounds.
Look at that.
29th triple-double of the season.
Mm-hmm. See, I can be like Embiid fans. This is your MVP right there. Look what he did against Embiid in the Sixers. Well, Embiid didn't play. Who lets the facts get in the way of it?
Exactly. Sore right calf kept him out. Mm-hmm. I think 34th straight game that Embiid has missed.
MSP, most softest player.
And the last time they played, and this was several weeks ago, Embiid had the huge game against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid played really, really well. He had 47 points. He had 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
And so last night, Nikola Jokic played and played well. James Harden didn't play last night either for Philadelphia.
Just imagine how many more points the Nuggets could have scored against James Harden's defensive play. Now, they would have needed all of them.
Probably so.
But, I mean, the Sixers bench did just fine against the Nuggets.
But the Nuggets bench was pretty good last night.
Yeah.
In the victory. So, Nuggets, you know, they get the win last night. And Nikola Jokic, the big game for Denver. A lot of dunks last night. I mean, Jeff Green, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Bruce Brown, Christian Brown were all skyward last night throwing down dunks for the Nuggets. And Denver gets a 116-111 win. They had a 22-point third quarter lead.
Yeah.
And proceeded to poop all over themselves after that.
They held on, though.
They held on. They get the win.
If it was an 18-point lead, they might have lost. But, and again, it's a problem the Nuggets have, to where they may shut down the top-of-the-line player if he plays. Like last night, probably your top player was Tobias Harris. He had 16.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
He had a decent game. But Paul Reed, who I had to Google, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, there's one of those guys, right? You go, who the hell's this guy?
DePaul Reed, because he went to DePaul, was 7 of 7 with 16 points off the bench. I'm like, who the hell's that guy? He's out there for 15 minutes knocking down 16 points. It's like, oh, man, here we go again. I'm kind of like, that's my thing, like Michael Malone's, is just defense in general. Mine is, why are you letting these rando and one guys out here scoring 16 points off the bench?
Embiid,
what are you doing?
You expect Embiid to go out maybe score 47. But
Tyrese Maxey is a good player, and when you put up 21 shots, you're going to score a lot of points.
Exactly, and he had 29 last night.
Jalen McDaniels and Paul Reed had 30 combined off the bench.
But
come on, guys.
But Denver's bench looked better last night. Brown had 18. True. 8 from Jeff Green, from Uncle Jeffy. Mm-hmm. Christian Brown had 8. Zeke Nnaji had 6. I mean, at least the Nuggets bench looked better than it's looked in a while.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The two guys you brought in, you made moves for. Thomas Bryant, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Aren't even playing right now.
No, all these guys you acquired
were supposed,
veterans.
They're supposed to be guys that were going to help improve your bench.
They're stabilizing forces, you know, late in games in the playoff push because they're veterans. They have experience. And Thomas Bryant, Reggie Jackson, DeAndre Jordan, Ish Smith, 4 DNPs last night.
All guys, veteran guys, experienced guys, the reason you have them on this roster.
You know who got significant minutes last night? Zeke Nnaji, Christian Brown. Guys that, you know, still have baby teeth, essentially.
And when we talked to Katie Wengy last week, I talked to her about the deal with Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant. She's like, well, they just haven't quite got their legs under them. And Coach Malone has realized that. And Coach Malone's going to go with the guys he feels the most comfortable with right now in his rotation. And thanking those guys for what they're doing. But basically the impression I got was, we don't know if they're going to really fit into our plans moving forward as far as a lot of minutes in the postseason. And my reaction to that is, well, then why did you make the move? Why did you trade for Bryant then?
What,
why did you try to get
Reggie?
Why did you get Reggie Jackson then?
Like, what's this whole thing about Reggie Jackson coming home? Well, yeah, he might as well be at home because he didn't play last.
Going to be a solidifying part of this team in the backcourt. Running the offense.
Veteran shooter guy.
Like. Exactly. Bryant's going to give them somebody in the front court to really help that second unit, maybe take some minutes off the shoulders of Nikola Jokic. What about DeAndre Jordan? Wasn't that the reason DeAndre Jordan came to Denver?
Yeah. You can't have guys to
At least Boogie Cousins, you got to admit.
He played.
When he came into the game, he impacted the game.
Makes me miss Boogie Cousins.
Does. You're just going, why didn't they just keep Boogie Cousins then?
Thomas Bryant is averaging 10 minutes a game in 16 games for the Nuggets. Reggie Jackson's played 10 games. DeAndre Jordan's played 35. He's got three starts. That's great. Averages 14 minutes a night. How are any of these guys helping Nikola Jokic? Which is the point, and Jamal Murray, if you're talking about guard play. What are these guys doing?
They're supposed to help out those two guys. Your frontline brand name guy is supposed to take minutes off their shoulders, supposed to make this a deeper basketball team. And they don't even play.
And I'm not saying Thomas Bryant is the solution, because I don't know what he can do. The only thing I know about Thomas Bryant is you traded for him, and when LeBron was going for Kareem's record, he was calling for the ball. That's the only two things I know about Thomas Bryant, because he doesn't play. It's like, what was even the point here? And you got how many games left before the end of the regular season? 12, something like that? I don't know if I can rely on these guys in the postseason. Well, if you don't play them now, how are you going to find that out?
Now's the time to figure out, are they going to fit into our rotation? Mm-hmm. What's their roles going to be?
You're a playoff team, and if you want to help spread out minutes for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, but you can't do it in the playoffs, do it now. What does Nikola Jokic have to play 37 minutes for last night? Once you found out Embiid was playing, he didn't need to be out there for 37 minutes.
To me, it's great that Brown's getting time, that Christian Brown's getting time, and those are fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you got these guys for a reason, and now's the time to figure out whether they're going to work or not. It's just kind of like, they're not working, so they're just going to sit on the bench. I don't get it. Anyway, after the game, here's a little Post Malone from Coach Michael Malone.
Thought the third quarter was great. Played well. Had the game in hand, and then just started messing around. Day one zone. Just some poor decision-making with that turnovers. Stopped defending. Fouled a lot. They went to the foul line 10 times in the fourth quarter. Again, we'll watch tape. But if we're going to be a team that wants to make a deep playoff run, you can't play like that when you have a lead. You got to put teams away.
Cry in the mud. Come on. Figure out the bench. Got these guys for a reason.
Okay, now this. I know we got to get to Wyatt, but I have a real quick question about.
Sure. We still have Avalanche, too. So
okay. Kind of what Mike Malone said there. Like, you gotta put teams away. You got to do this. You got to do that. How much of this is now on Michael Malone? Putting in dudes that are dog-ass tired to try to close out games because he won't use the bench.
You got to find out what you have here. You got to find out if it's going to work or not. And I agree with you. I agree. All right, so the Avalanche. You want to cue some music for me very quickly?
Yeah, let me get the record back out of the sleeve there.
Thank you. Avs, after the, 7 shootout victory against Arizona? A much easier game last night in Anaheim with a 5-1 win over the Ducks. And Nathan MacKinnon with a goal last night. Nathan MacKinnon is now 5 points away from 100 points for the first time in his career.
Didn't it feel like he missed like 30 games in the middle of the season?
I know, it does. And so Avalanche power play, penalty kill, both phenomenal. Last 23 games, opponents are 9-for-60 in the power play. Anaheim went 0-for-2. So both those units clicking at the right time. And last night, you're able to see Alexander Georgiev get a break last night. Jonas Johansson got the start last night for the Avalanche and played well for Colorado. So a little break for Georgie last night. After the game, Jared Bednar talking about the win on the road, setting the stage for a big showdown with Minnesota tomorrow night.
Yeah, I just thought we kept playing the game to the right level of intensity. You know, I thought we got comfortable in the Arizona game and kind of eased off it a little bit in our checking game especially. And tonight we just kept playing, kept doing what we did in the second period. And I thought tonight we had a little bit of a slow start, I think a little bit to be expected. We didn't skate this morning. It's on the back-to-back, and they came out hard. But then we got our legs going a little bit, got the intensity level up halfway through the first period, and then I felt like the rest of our game was pretty good.
All right, the Avalanche and Minnesota tomorrow night, battle for first place in the Central. Avs have a 2-point lead now over Dallas for second place in the Central Division. Catch that game tomorrow night on the team with pregame at 7:30. It's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
I heard a lot of tidbits of information that float across our particular screens over the course of however long we've been doing this. Remember when Pac-Man Jones got in trouble for slapping some dude at an airport?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember why?
No, I do not.
Because I didn't know why. But last week on the Pat McAfee Show, I found out why.
What's up, big fella?
Pac-Man, you know the statute of limitations is up. I can tell the story now. Can I tell it?
Yeah, you can tell the story now.
Hell yeah, Shaq. Welcome to the show. Thank you, Pac. This is great news.
Okay, so remember when Pac-Man had that altercation in the airport? He was really sticking up for me. Pat, I just want to say thank you for always being my bodyguard. And you whooped that dude ass because he was disrespecting me. And nobody knows this story, but I appreciate you very much.
I appreciate you. I've been keeping this secret. I ain't want everybody to know our business.
Yeah. Hold on. This is Atlanta Airport chicken in hand. That fight that we
Popeyes. Both. Popeyes, yes.
That was the stick up for Shaq?
Yes.
What did he say, Shaq? Guy said something to you? What happened?
I don't know. Pat, man, just said, hey, man, you don't talk to Shaq like that. And I just had to get on my plane. And next thing I know, Pac-Man put them paws on
me. I got to take care of big fella.
Oh, that is amazing. Yeah. Pac-Man is an incredible friend.
Pac-Man Jones defending Shaq.
It just seems
roughing
so
up
unlikely.
Some dude, Popeyes in hand.
It just seems so unlikely Shaq would need it anybody does. To
yeah.
To take up for
Shaq.
Him.
But I get kind of, later on they go, Shaq can't really do that sort of thing, right?
Right.
Because he's Shaq.
Because he's, yeah, he's
Pac-Man Jones
is gigantic.
Like,
and
yeah, whatever.
Pac-Man Jones doesn't care.
No.
All right, 744, Wyatt Thompson, voice of Kansas State Wildcats, our college basketball insider, joins us next on the team.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking college basketball with the team's insider, Wyatt Thompson, on The Jim Davis Show.
And with us right now, Wyatt Thompson, voice of Kansas State Wildcats. Good morning, Wyatt. Let's see. You just came out of an eye appointment, so your eyes are dilated. I'm trying to get my voice back after this allergy laryngitis thing. We could perhaps be the second version of Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder from that movie from so many years ago. Anyway,
I like the way you think.
I always appreciate the time. Hey, what a great run for Kansas State. And I thought what Coach Tang did, going to the Florida Atlantic locker room and telling those guys, hey, you're the best team we played this year. I'm rooting for you. I thought that was a classy move. There were some people that criticized him, thought that he was kind of grandstanding a little bit and doing it for the cameras. I think the intention was genuine, though. I thought it was a really wonderful thing he did after the Wildcats lost to Florida Atlantic.
Well, you said a lot there, and I will say this, too. I think the way he handled his team coming off the floor and their disappointment was also exemplary. If some people see, you know, him going into their locker room and telling them that they were the tougher team and the better team, and I'm all for you, go win this thing. If they saw that as grandstanding and being a camera hog, so be it. I can't change that. I disagree with it,
right.
But hey, everybody deserves an opinion. And I'll be honest, it stings to lose a game when you get to that point, but the reality of it is that day FAU was the better team. They killed K-State on the boards. K-State did not shoot free throws well, and one of their two stars played only 18 minutes because of foul trouble. There are always reasons, right? And that's just kind of the way it broke down. Very difficult loss to end a fabulous season. So I think once the hurt subsides for this fan base, I think they're going to look back and really appreciate this year for what really was a magical story. And when that happens to FAU, I think it's going to be the same kind of thing. And San Diego State, same kind of thing. Unless those two teams go and win it, right? That's just kind of what it is.
which could very well be the case. The Kansas State Wildcats losing to Florida Atlantic in Madison Square Garden, 79-76. Marquise Noel, what an incredible season. I love what Coach Tang said, that, look, in the case of Marquise, he could have left before Jerome Tang was hired. He decided to stay there, and look what the results were with what Marquise Noel was able to do and help getting Kansas State to the Elite Eight.
Well, so many people have talked about what a great story he was, and I'm talking about, you know, national writers, national shows, that kind of stuff. What they were, you know, relaying to the national public was what you and I have been talking about all year long, and how good he was. The fact that not only did he stay, but he helped Coach Tang recruit 13 guys, he and Ish Masood both, and was bought in, you know, from the beginning on what Coach Tang was all about and how he wanted to do this and how he went about it. It just, you know, I've been here 21 years, Jim, and it seems like about 10 minutes some days, but I've been very blessed. It's the third time we've lost in the regional final. And it's just such a special thing to get that far, you know, getting into a fourth game and falling a little short hurts, as I said before. But on the other hand, you know, you saw something that most people don't get to experience. And I think I appreciate that so much, because SAU won that East Regional and he was still the MVP. Shows you how good he was.
Wyatt Thompson, voice of Kansas State Wildcats, our college basketball insider, with us today on the team. And just like so many people's brackets, Wyatt had this four, right? Miami, UConn, Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. I mean, everybody, so many brackets out there that are still perfect. I'm just kidding, obviously. I mean, take me through this, because for the first time since 1970, we've got three teams making their first trip to the Final Four. That's just remarkable.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, it's a Mountain West team for a first time, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, which I'm really thrilled about, to be honest with you. I think you could probably argue about the call at the end of the SDSU-Creighton game till the end of time. I'm not sure what you thought of the video. I think it would be extremely difficult to make that call with under 2 seconds to go. But I don't want to take away from what San Diego State accomplished either. They beat a good team, a really good team. They won their regional to get to the Final Four. I think you salute them for that. I don't know what you thought of the call. I thought it was pretty iffy, but boy, that doesn't take away from what they've done and accomplished.
Yeah, you got him on the hip. I mean, he's riding his hip. The timing of it, I think, is the thing. I think any other moment, I don't think anybody would have thought that, right? That, okay, that's probably a foul. But that moment, do you let that go? I tend to agree with you. I think it was a bit of an iffy call, but he did have his hand on his hip.
He did.
And so I guess I have to defer to the officials on that one. But the timing of it, obviously a tough time to make that call.
Well, it is, but you know what? Those guys are paid to make calls like that, and I know other people would, and again, depending on who you're for, maybe, or who your money's on, so
right,
to speak. It's a little bit of a joke, but not necessarily.
Sure.
You know, it's the most difficult thing. I'll give you another example. I thought of the four games that K-State played, there were more ticky-tack calls in this fourth game than there was in the other three games. I don't know that it makes it right or wrong. It's just the difference in the crew and how they call it that day. And that's part of the beauty of the game, right? I mean, it's like the strike zone, you know. Angel Hernandez is going to be different than somebody else. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. You may not like it, but it's what it is until they get the automatic strike zone. And I don't know that we can ever get that to that point in basketball, can we? Too much involvement in it. Thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank goodness for that. Wyatt Thompson joining us today. So, Wyatt, I know it's a busy morning for you and everything. I just want to wrap it up here with, who do you like coming up this weekend?
Well, you know, I really mean this sincerely. I think through this tournament, you don't know. You just don't. With that said, I'm probably not that much different than everybody else in thinking that Connecticut's the best team left. And I think they are, because they have a big man or two that can play. and can match most everybody else with their guard play. Fair assessment?
I think so. I think their spacing, their ball movement offensively for Dan Hurley's team. Defensively, they meet the eye test. So the Miller kid from Miami is really good.
Oh, for sure. I love Miami too, and I've even heard people say the national championship game is that game on Saturday. I don't know if I'd necessarily go that far, and yet I kind of understand the argument. The Miami's one of those teams, and of course they beat Texas from my league, but and did so trailing by 13 in the second half. I've had so many people, Jim, think about this for a minute. So many people say to me in the last couple of days here, how good would the K-State been had Nigel Pack stayed?
Oh, absolutely.
I know. I don't know how to answer that, honestly. It's like with Marquise and him.
That would have been devastating. Would have been great.
Oh, my
goodness. Would have been great for Kansas State fans.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Wyatt, I'm sorry.
I'll take Connecticut, though.
You're going to take Connecticut? Okay. I kind of like him, too. I love the way they played here down the stretch. And hey, Wyatt, I always appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and I wish Kansas State was playing this weekend. I wish we were talking about that, but still, one heck of a season for the Wildcats, and I was thrilled for you, buddy, that you got to call them in the Elite Eight. I appreciate the time, as always.
My pleasure, my friend. Always enjoy talking to you, buddy. Take care.
You too. Likewise. Wyatt Thompson, voice of Kansas State Wildcats, our college basketball insider, and when football season rolls around, we talk plenty of football with Wyatt as well. All right, it's 7:57. Coming up next hour, we'll go around the NFL. There was Monday Night XFL last night, Buckeye. How about that? Monday Night XFL. So we'll dive into that, question mark? We'll probably talk about it. Sean Payton and George Payton making it clear that they don't plan on trading Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. We'll get into that coming up next hour. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340.